Hello and welcome to the T2 Hubcast with me, James Cooper.
And myself, Scott Morrison.
How are you doing, Scott?
I'm very well, sir. How are you?
Hey, this is a little bit of a change in the road, isn't it, for us two? We're normally out and about running around all over the country, but it's nice to get behind the mics, right?
This is our pairing debut for Hubcast.
It's not bad. It's not bad. It's a good-looking squad, put it that way. So, first of all, what are we going to talk about today then, Scott? What is it?
So, I think what we've been talking about and doing a lot with our clients and customers, etc., is social style. So I thought it'd be a good idea with yourself to really dig into why social styles, what is it, where's it come from, who does it, what's the benefits? The simple questions, really, but some that we can share with the wider audience.
And definitely, I think a lot of our customers as well have done some form of social styles. But just to give a little bit of clarity for everybody, David Merrill and Roger Reed in the 1960s developed the social styles model. It is to do with the assertiveness and responsiveness of markings. And if you've ever been through part of the process, it's quite simple, really, Scott, isn't it? It's not rocket science. It is for the masses and everybody to understand. And we're going to get into the reason why we need to understand it and what sort of benefits as leaders we can have. And obviously in that online environment as well, what some considerations might be. So, just to run you through the process of it, so you have an assertiveness set of questions, which is 14, and then you add all the scores up from 1, 2, 3, or 4, depending on how assertive you are in the two measures. You divide that by 15, and that will pop out a number of about 2.5. It'll either be above 2.5 or it'll be below 2.5, yeah, which is quite important. And then the same thing you do for your responsiveness questions, which is then, again, there's another 14 questions, divide it by 15, and then it will also come out with you either having a higher than 2.5 or a lower than 2.5 result. Now, when you put these into the little metric and the way that it equates within social styles, it then basically tells you whether you are the 4 different social styles. Now, I'm going to let Scott explain these because he's really good at it. So, Scott, let's get into the 4 social styles and we'll just touch on these and then we'll talk about why and what impact it can have.
Yeah, sure. So we have 4 social styles that really encapsulate the group. So we have 1, which is the driver. Now, when we talk about the driver, we'll look at some of the key attributes and skill sets that come from that section. We're talking about independence, being in control, fast-paced, goal-driven type people, persistent and efficient. They're the driver type-esque, if you like. Then we look
at... It's not slow paced, then, right?
No. You're at it. You're moving with speed. You're moving with passion. You're moving with purpose. You're intent on planting that flag on the top of the hill. We want to get there. We want to get there first.
Okay. So what about if I said it is part of a team then? What sort of superpowers do they bring to the team environment? Because obviously we're working with a lot of different businesses in a different range of size teams. Yeah. But as a driver, if we said, you know what, we've got this situation that might need somebody to do what? And a driver, what situation would they be probably best for?
So if you're looking at a driver, then essentially these guys are the ones that want to take charge. They're happy in tough situations, happy to make quick decisions. They're happy to stand by their decisions and carry people with them. Yeah. They're likely to lead that situation with enthusiasm, with passion, yeah, with intent to complete. And they'll make that crowd feel protected. They're the type of people that will move a group in time, in sequence, and get them where they need to be.
So are we saying that these are very much results driven?
Yeah, I would say they're results driven. They're the type of people that naturally flow into positions of leadership if you want. Even if that's not the intent from the communication given, okay, people tend to lean in that way with some of these type guys.
Okay, what's the next one then?
So the second one is the expressive. Now, the expressive is an individual, excitable, enthusiastic, full of energy, creative, you know, the dynamic soul out of the party. They're those that bring some sort of sparkle, I think it's probably a good word to do it. They bring some sparkle. You like that?
Nice. Sparkle. So if we talk about that team environment again, and what I'll do is I'll make the links to that as well, because it's all right us understanding these descriptors, but how it looks to leaders within their teams might be quite important for the people that listen to the podcast. Sure. So if it was then an expressive, and just going from what you said in the descriptors, are we talking about idea generators? Are we talking about creativity? Are we talking about people that are, if you give them the room, it could turn the room into a full flip chart, or they need 15 flip charts, whatever it is.
Yeah, well, listen, they're all going to show up and project onto the crowd at different levels, if that makes sense. Yeah. But we are probably talking the creative types. We are talking those that think outside the box. They like to move with, like I said, sparkle. So yeah, they're going to sprinkle that stardust on their projects. They don't like anything being typecast or being boring or mundane. They right, want everything okay, to have a bit of life and to keep it exciting.
Okay, so even a different point of view as well, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Right, next.
The analytical. So when we talk about the analytical, again, these guys are all about being precision, precise. They want logical results. They want purpose. They want structure. They want to be methodical. Everything's got a place and a time and a sequence, a process, if you like.
Okay.
So okay, they're into that regime.
So if you started to think about those people in a team, Are these the people that are striving for that really high standard? And I've obviously had the question, and we're going to get into some of the questions of what we've had in this workshop when we've delivered this to our customers. And then we've gone, so it's perfection then, right?
Yeah. So these guys are, yeah, again, different layers, different levels, but okay, you are going to be looking at high quality.
Yeah.
And they'll have a view of high standards. They want everything to be where it needs to be. As an example, a driver or an expressive, if you was to give them a sum and say it's a 9.4, the perception for them is to be a 10. So they'll sit there and go, I can round that up, and that's a 10. Yeah. Whereas the analytical will be like, no, there's no rounding up. It said 9.4, it's a 9.4. Okay. So the decimal points need to be where they are. There's a point to what they're doing. You know, they're the type of person or people where if there's an option to view something outside of the box, yeah, they'll do that. But then you've got to give them time to then give you the measurements. If I give you my prime example when we do this in sessions is if I set my journey mm-hmm. in Route Finder, whatever way you want to do it, and it goes through there, it gives you three options, right? Which yeah, way to get there. Now, as a driver myself, I'm always going to pick the fastest time. So whatever's going to get me in that direct route and the fastest time to get me from A to B, I'm picking. Whereas the analytical will see there's three different options and will probably weigh up the benefits, the features and benefits, the pros and cons
every single
route okay, for who's on that journey at that time. And as a result, they'll probably still then question to pick the right one for that group because there is an accumulation of three different options.
Okay. So we've got driver, got analytical, got our expressive. What's the final one, please?
The final one is amiable. So the amiable are your respectful people. These are the guys that like to listen.
Yeah.
They're going to sit down in your time, in your space, hear you out without waiting for the gap for them to speak. They're going to listen attentively to what you need. Caring, nurturing, team player, considerate. The type of people that want to build a safe and secure environment for you to thrive in.
Okay. So we're talking about relationships there, aren't we?
Yes.
So across these four social styles, then we work a lot with the total variety of different people that come to sure, our sessions and that we have the pleasure of working with. My question is though, Scott, there must be a best one, right?
No.
Never.
But I'm a driver, so I'd say a driver. But
I'm an expressive, so I'd say expressive.
Then you've got four different types and they're all going to say the lead. For me, the general gist is this. I think everybody has their own attributes, their own skills. They all have something to bring, right? As an yeah, individual, you all have your own individual bit of sparkle, your own stardust
yeah, yeah,
that you bring to a project. It's not going to be won by the drivers. It's not going to be won just by the analyticals. There's a blend.
So, all right then. So you then say in the blend is that if this is the way that we show up or the things that we like to show people and the way that we act when we're in different environments and when we're talking about interpersonal relationships, sometimes I've felt that I've been quite analytical. But I know, and I'm doing it now, even for you guys that can't see this podcast, I'm talking with my hands. I said, and I can't stop myself.
Big smile,
and that's it. Yeah. But that's the point, is that but sometimes I've had to be analytical. But what does that mean within a social styles point of view? Because are we pigeonholing people here?
No, I don't think we are. What we're doing is we're using our experience. It's not a case of pigeonholing and saying, right, as a descriptor, that's who you are on the page. We are far more than words on the page. And as an individual, looking far back, go back to your unconscious. Let's align it with the unconscious motivators, right? So you can go back to that. print is deep and it's fantastic, yeah. But ultimately it doesn't mean because it says up on that page that's all you are. There is so much more to each human being,
yeah.
Via their upbringing, via their personal experience, their tenure on this planet, anything, their gains, their losses, all of that brings, yeah, their own little unique mix. So for you as an example, if I was to ask you, what is your print?
So I'm a 2-3.
So you're a 2-3.
So to be needed and appreciated and to succeed and achieve.
Right. Now, within that succeed and achieve, there are probably times where you've thought outside of the box and thought, why am I not getting that result that I want? What do I need to change to be more effective in delivering this result?
Okay.
And not all of that is moving at 100 miles an hour. Not all of that is planting that flag for the first time.
Yeah.
To win, sometimes you have to have some formula, a process, a regime, a routine.
Slow down.
To slow things, yeah, down, but to make sure that it's right. How many times have you failed before you've got it right? And as a result of failing those numbers of times,
okay,
you learn, right?
Yeah.
So you then put a process in place so you know what your success recipe is. So that's probably where your analytical, okay, side comes from. You have, okay, to get your process right.
The next T2 Leadership Retreat will take place on the 7th to the 9th of May, 2024. To book your place on the Ultimate Leadership Development Experience from the People Performance People, or for more information, please visit www.trans2performance.com.
We have done a podcast on the human iceberg, and some of the print profiles as well. So obviously have a look on our socials for that. When we just to round that up and just explain that to everybody, is that obviously we are talking in a human iceberg concept of above the waterline behaviors, characteristics and traits. Okay. Now, social styles tie into that. And really, if we ask the question of, well, I'm not always going to be the same social style because some of the situations, like Scott's just articulated, are different and you need the certain set of skills or behaviours, if you like, to be able to deal with that scenario or that situation in the best way. Now, if I said, well, why do we need to be aware of social styles then? If I can then, if you like, turn up the dial on one of them in a certain situation, turn another one down. So, for example, as a driver, there might be some times that you struggle above the waterline to show your behaviours to the people that are really quite amiable.
Yeah. No, I'd give you that. So I'll give you an example. So before being a consultant, my tenure in experience has been sales leadership,
yeah,
performance management, et cetera, et cetera. So within that, I think in my earlier years, I'm an 8-3. So I'm a driver to boot. So I'm like a triple driver. I'm a triple doer.
So that's below the waterline, so just to explain,
yeah,
that,
so,
I haven't done print yet.
So my unconscious motivators lead me to be strong and independent, yeah, and succeed and achieve.
Yeah.
So I'm a double doer, if that makes sense. Now, as a social style, above the waterline, I show up, I project myself as a driver.
Yeah.
So again, that is also a doing action. That's also a leading full steam ahead action. So I'm a triple action guy. So ultimately, I'm here with camo paint on my face, right? But the general gist here is, as a result of that, that would suggest I'm the exact opposite spectrum to what amiable may be. Okay. Now, in my early career, that would have been so apt because I left people in my wake, a trail of bodies, if you like. I used them as battery power to project myself forward.
Yeah.
Now, under the right tutelage and the right guidance from the correct manager, I was able to understand just how important being able to communicate, being able to listen, being able to hear two sides of an idea, yeah, was. Now, as a result, when we talk about the social styles, I can actively say, as much as I'm a driver, I can fall into the amiable side of things because I've learned as a trait, as a skill, I've improved that level of understanding, of listening, of being respectful, of giving someone their time and space to speak so that I can take on that second opinion or another thought process.
So is that then adapting some of the ways that you've acted in the past?
Absolutely.
Okay, so then that adapting would be, well, it reflects, and this is what the social styles would touch on, is it reflects the habits and behaviours that people exhibit when we're talking about interpersonal relationships. So if I know, Scott, that you are a driver, and I'm not saying that I'm just going to totally label everything that I give you to a driving social style, but what I am going to do is I'm going to give you information the way that you want it, not the way that I want to give it. And there's a difference, right? So just a couple of things. I'd be looking at giving respecting your time, so I'm not going to waste it too much. I'd then be showing competency, because I know I've got to show up the way that you want to see it. I'm not going to speak to idiots. I want you to be, if you're in the room with me, I'm going to give you the information that I need, and you know that that's coming. I'm going to stick to facts, which is exactly what I'm doing now. I'm going to have to earn your trust as well. Now, is that through performance, do you think, for you?
I think it's for a number of different things. If in our... In my previous life as a performance manager, but you would have to show competence in what you was doing to be able to speak to me about what we're doing. So there's a proven track record.
And in turn, that then creates a level of trust.
But as you ever say, where you talk to me about being true to your word, say that all the time. Be impeccable with your word. Yeah. There you go. You always talk about that. And I guess for me, it's the same with performance. If you're going to tell me you're going to do something, you go and do it. But then I'm also aware that it's not always that easy. So I'm about being brave. So what I'm saying here is, if you get halfway through that process, that project, that journey that you're on, and you realize I'm not going to make it, I expect you to be impeccable with your word. And you can only complete that if you ask a question or ask for help. Okay. So you've got a U-turn and come back and find me.
So then the flip side of that is, then I would let you have some of the control, even though I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to give you a little bit of the control on what I need to do.
Well, it's not even the control per se. It's just knowing your boundaries, knowing your, like, I've got an expectation. Let's say my expectation is 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
Well, if you're doing a job for the first time and your job is there, an expectation of 4 out of 10, I can't hold you to the 9.
No.
So I've got to give you a chance to come back and challenge me, and I've got to help you get that journey.
So then if we imagine, like you've already said, Scott, I'll be slightly a little bit more amiable.
Yeah.
What have been, like, we've got some, like, if there's a way of working with people that are coming up, showing up as a social and amiable social style, what sort of things would you do for them that you might have changed from times gone by or jobs gone by? What have you adapted? What have you changed? Oh,
listen, there's that saying, you've got one mouth and two ears for a reason. Now, if you've seen me, you know I've got a pair of ears that can listen. So I'm all about approaching each person. An area or communication, I'm about approaching it carefully. I try to listen intently. I think you pulled me before and you said you listen seriously. I'm not sure what the words were you used, but if you're trying to talk to me, I'm putting things down. Yeah. I'm stopping on the email. I'm stopping on the phone. Yeah. I'm stopping on writing, and I'm looking at you. I'm trying to hear what you're saying, because I want you to know that I'm hearing you, and then what I'm going to respond with is in coordination with what you are asking. Okay. So I'm going to listen intently. I consider all of the perspectives. I want to hear from both sides, and I need to be able to weigh them up evenly. I can only do that by listening to all areas that are on option. And I guess in relation to safe and secure environments, I'm going to do it all in private. If we're going to have communication where it needs to be, not everything needs to be in private, but when it's delicate or when it matters, it's not a case of exposing people to the bigger crowd. It's about doing it behind closed doors or in a safe place for them to be able to approach me.
So does that mean you become less of a bulldozer? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, I reckon. I said, listen, there's situationals where there's times and there's needs, but I think in my riper years, I'm definitely a little bit softer in my...
Okay. Right, so let's talk about the impact of that then. So obviously, if we've got people and they go through the social styles questionnaire, they get the certain one or the one that shows up the most strong in them, and then they are put in these environments. What's the impact of potentially having to deal with people in a slightly different social style or being aware of that social style? But why do we need to be aware of it?
Oh, listen, we talk about a number of things. We're talking about the human iceberg, and it goes into how we behave and how we act and how we show up. A key part of how we act and how we behave and how we show up is all about your emotions and how you control them. If we can communicate more effectively, we are in a position where we are enabled in ourselves to collaborate.
Okay.
And if we're collaborating, we're not confrontational. Because if I want to hear from you and you know I want to hear from you, you're willing to speak. Mm. But if I'm trying to dominate you, what do you become?
I'll just step back and see later.
Right. So you either withdraw or you become defensive and engage. Either one, the chimp's coming out.
Yeah.
So ultimately, the best way to disarm the chimp is through collaboration. Okay. So if we can communicate effectively, more effective than we are doing now. We know we've got a weakness in speaking to either the analytical, the driver, the expressive, or the amiable, whichever way we sit. If we're able to communicate more effectively, therefore collaborate more effectively,
yeah,
our chances of achieving the task or the goal, or even that conversation point, is going to be far greater than if I just hit you with everything.
And that's because you have a better understanding of how people show up and, in turn, appreciate their decisions and their control needs. So for some people, they need to have the floor, if you like, if you're an expressive. They need to be asked, what do you think, and given the time. Or maybe driver just needs 3 bullet points, whereas the analytical needs all the information so that they can put it into that process.
Yeah, they want you to respect their process. They need you to give them time and space. No analytical person likes being put on the spot for an answer there and then.
Yeah.
They want to check
it. Have you found that in workshops, by the way?
Oh, I use that as a general. And it is a general, by the way, because not everybody's the same. But I use the example, if you're an analytical and I approach you for an outcome here, now, in this present space, and it could be a simple number, I ask on a scale of 1 to 10, how comfortable are you with giving me that number right now? And they say it's very low. And I say, why? Because I just want to check it first. They don't like being held to that without being checked or double checking or having it confirmed. So there's a number of different things. So giving them time and space and allowing them to come up with their own answers, but giving them an avenue to do it.
Yeah, there's been a couple of things that I've noticed, and it's when we're talking about analyticals and there's always that, do you like a list? Do you like a list? Now, for some people that are maybe listening to the podcast now, they might have lists for a list and they might have all the information. It's all there and they love that process. Now, for me, I love a list. It's a to-do list and it's normally a little bit different to everybody else's, but it depends what motive or what narrative you have for writing that list. So I will write the list to make sure and there's names on it. Whereas, do you write the names? Do you write it has to be this for this person? Well, I'm just writing the person because I have that attachment to the person behind it. Now, that's to do with not only my expressive social style, but my unconscious motivators that sit below the waterline. But if I'm looking at just above the line, do you have lists? Do you have lists that write themselves, and it really bugs you if you can't follow your list or somebody else drops another inbox and you're still trying to work on the outbox and it never sort of dries up?
It's a good question. Like, I've just rolled my eyes in thought while thinking, do I use lists? And I do use lists. And there's a time and place for me in relation to lists. I think I use them more in the office as a way of getting through my day, ensuring certain things are ticked off. I'm probably similar to you. I might not go 1 down to 10. Mm. I might start at 1, then do 2, and then maybe jump to 7. Yeah, and see how it goes. Depending what the mood of the office can sometimes reflect where I'm at and what I'm doing. So list of importance. But again, that can link back to just in that social style. We talk about how sometimes our social styles, or we as individuals, can straddle 2 social styles.
Right, okay.
And as a result, I think because of what I do now, as in being a consultant, and, you know, I don't think performing is the right word, but we deliver, and we'd like to deliver with our own personality, our own panache, you know, to build our craft.
Okay.
And I think I do go from driving, or as a driver, should I say, into the expressive style.
Yeah.
And then when you look at some of the key attributes for expressive, one of them is perceived as unstructured.
Mm.
And that's because if something's bright and shiny for me, I'm engaged.
Yeah.
But once it becomes a little bit boring, a little bit mundane,
the magpie effect leaves.
Yeah, oh, what's shiny? What's next? Okay. Right?
We are going to explore print.
What are you talking about? What's print?
Print is this fantastic model that we use with a lot of our clients. It's all about unconscious motivators. So it's a model based on motivations that are responsible for our thoughts, for our feelings, for our actions, because they operate at that deeper level. If you really want to take it to the next level in regards to your self-development, whether it be for you as an individual, for your team, for your organization, then get in touch, because we'd love to help support.
When I say it's changed my life, it really has. You guys need to get in touch with the T2 Towers.
Yeah.
Send an email, follow us on social media. Thank you very much. I'm James Cooper.
And I'm Benice Cassidy.
Right, okay then. So I want to touch on quite a bit, because we're doing a lot of different work and we're doing some work with companies that are definitely 100% online. But what are the considerations when we're looking at social styles to that online platform, to that online environment? Because we've seen on a number of different organisations that there is definitely that remote or hybrid working environment, or if it's fully remote, whatever it is. For people that are sat and they're just about to jump on a Teams call with their teams and listen to the podcast before they go and do so, what are some of the considerations for online environments then? Because I think if we're looking at people and how they show up, now, first of all, if you've got people that are turning their cameras off, you're in a situation where are they not either engaging with the information, or they're just quite passive. They don't necessarily want to be front and center. They're just happy to listen to the information. But do you know that person because you've spent the time with them and you've put in the effort and you care about what they actually take from the conversation? Now, for me, you have to take something away from the conversation. Sure. But if I've got people that are passive and they're not necessarily having that influence and having their bit into the conversation, I then question, are you getting anything from it? Yeah. Am I giving you enough value?
Yeah, I hear that. I think, yeah, it's a great question. And I'm at a stage now where we do a lot of virtual delivery for a number of different organizations for different reasons. Some, like you say, they're all virtual, so there's nothing you can do about that. So that's the option you have, where some just do hybrid. So, you know, we work with different organizations where we'll do some face-to-face and then other days we do virtual. For me, I think when I come on to deliver and, you know, the cameras are off, I'll always ask for everybody to put the cameras on. I'll probably insert rules, you know, phones away, just give me 30 minutes of your time, depending on how long the session is, etc. But yeah, I'm one where I like to interact with each and every single person, ask them a question, get their thoughts, engage them in their outcomes of where things would be. So it is difficult on understanding that.
So obviously we might have some people that maybe sit back in the online environment. You might have people that love it, absolutely love it, and it's their forum. They can sit and they can actually give you what you need,
energy wise, engagement.
But then, to a point, are they overtaking the salient points that you're trying to deliver? So I'm just, well, by the way, we're just dialing them up and dialing down. There's no fact. There's no dead set. This is definitely what happens on Teams calls. It's about your perception of what's happening on the call,
okay,
and things to consider.
So, I mean, I guess if I was to make a judgment call, if you like, on somebody who's fully engaged, active, asking questions, getting involved, if you're asking me where would I put that person on my mind's map of, you know, social styles, are they driver, expressive, analytical, amiable? I'd probably lean towards the expressive stroke driver function for their interaction. Okay. Expressive, they want to create a relationship with you. They want you to talk. They want to laugh. They want you to laugh. So you would build that relationship. So that would really be engaging there.
So getting to know people first.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Lightening up, listening to their opinions, recognizing their contribution, laugh with them. You know, that's ultimately what they're trying to do. They're relationship-based, not result-based, as an expressive. So that's their opportunity to create that connection, I guess.
Okay. So I've experienced it a few times where you've got key people on an online environment and in the rooms, where they are the people that really engage with the information from the get-go, and that you can basically bounce ideas off them. They become a little bit of a catalyst for discussion, if you like. These people would, I'd be like, yeah, but, and what do you think? And then they come back with their actual opinion or what they're seeing and what they understand. Now, if I'm not a subject specialist and I don't have all the information, imagine if you've got an analytical social style and now you're on a call with people that you don't necessarily, you've maybe even spoke to them 3 or 4 times, or you might just be that person that sits in the office or on the Teams call and just takes it all in. Now, if we consider that, and wherever you are, dialing it up or dialing it down, you might be in a position where somebody could be maybe seeing that and going, well, you're not interested. I haven't had my chance to speak. Have you got an expressive there that's not getting the chance to speak on the call, when really they might have some quite important points that could change the way that some things are done within the process?
Yeah, for me, that's a difficult one, really, because when you talk about analyticals being in the room, you know, we've just said about giving them space, don't pressure them for an answer. So you're going to have to really sort of, you're going to have to tune in a little bit to body language, right? To their body language. Yeah. And, you know, we use that technical term, facial leakage,
yeah.
Right? It might be a case of, okay, what am I observing? Am I seeing body language? Body language is what, 65% of our communication style? Right. So if I'm seeing positive body language, I'm seeing them take notes, I'm seeing eyebrow raises, or I'm seeing them nodding. Yeah. That's how I'm going to engage at these people. Potentially are taking on board what they need to take on board. I might throw something out there at them to get an engagement. But then again, I don't want to pressure the holistic. Mm-hmm. So it might be something that doesn't require a certain answer, mm-hmm. but a conversation piece. Yeah. What's your thoughts on that? What would you do differently? You know, mm-hmm. those type of things. So it's not a direct question, but something that engages thought.
Okay. So really, Scott, when we're starting to look at this as the outcome of social styles, we've obviously delivered this a few times. Is there any quite detailed questions that you've had and going, well, Scott, why do I need to know this? We've already said it's about understanding people and building those interpersonal relationships, but we all still get the question of, well, how can I implement this with my team then? What's the main benefit of me doing this?
I think we've discussed this a few times in the past, and we talk about how things are taken. I take this completely different to some others, I presume, because of who I am and my experience. But my key function here is, why are social styles important? One, just to be open to the people that are moving in your space and time.
In the way that they work.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you can give them that space and time, that respect and that freedom of movement, to be themselves, authentically themselves. One, they're going to be happy in your company. Two, they're going to be more open and trusting to the communication style that you have because you're interested in learning their communication style.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
100%.
So for me, it's a case of, how do I improve your place of work? Mm. And I don't mean place of work as in building. I mean desk. I mean social area, common area, whatever area that you work in as a combined group.
Or in that online space as well, right?
Exactly. How do I create that environment where you can be holistically you?
Right.
And as a result of that, turn up in your best self. And if you turn up in your best self, you're happy at work. If you're happy at work, you're doing better work and you're more engaged in being there. And if I can accommodate that by being more aware of who you are and what you're trying to bring to the table, not pressuring you when you don't need pressuring, listening to you when you've got a voice, but then encouraging you to speak up when you need the empowering, then ultimately I'm making a better decision for us both to some extent, but I'm giving you a great way to communicate.
So then and great, by the way, and you just mentioned something about authenticity. Because if I turn up to work in one way and then maybe I'm at home in a slightly different way, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm a bad person or I'm a good person. It's you, right? So if you come with the energy, come with the beans, and then personally and professionally, those two things look totally different. Do you know why? Is it maybe ask that question? But from a social styles point of view, if I'm showing up the way that I want to show up on a regular basis, I'm saying, really, I'm in a good spot. Yeah. I'm in a good spot because I've got psychological safety to be able to be myself. Yeah. And if there's anything that, like, maybe people that are questioning some of the information and, well, how can I find out more about this? Do the questionnaire if you haven't done it already. Mm-hmm. And I know for some of the businesses that we're working with right now, right here, this has been quite a bit of a game changer for them. Because you start to understand the people, the relationships, and it's about how we work together.
Yeah. When you go through social styles, you can look, if you're kind of introverted as an example, and you're just trying to get your work done, you don't look outwards too much, but you don't understand why certain people move the way that they move or communicate the way that they communicate or
make those decisions.
Yeah, make those decisions. When you dig into a bit of social styles and you realize, right, this guy's analytical, this lady's amiable, this guy's a driver, this lady's an expressive as an example, whichever way it turns out, just understanding a little bit why they move a little bit slower than you at certain points.
Yeah.
It's not because they don't know what they're doing or they're not confident and you are and you're moving full steam ahead. It's understanding they've got a different thought process.
They're thinking about relationships.
They're thinking about relationships. Or if they're not thinking about the relationships and how people are feeling, they're thinking about the numbers.
Mm.
And they're thinking about the outcomes and therefore the result, whereas some are thinking about emotions and the relationships. So it's different functions for different people. But opening your eyes to the social styles will allow you to be better at transmitting, but so much better at receiving that information also.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Scott.
Thank you, James.
Thank you again for everybody that's listening. We'll join you again for the next T2 Hubcast.
Speak to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Are you a fan of our podcast? If so, make sure you're following us on all of our social media channels. You can find us on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter by searching Transdo Performance. By following us, you'll have access to exclusive content, special announcements, and more. Join the T2 community today.